Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Cool. And we're back for another episode. This is... Make sure I press the right button. This is for Season 4, Episode 3, Open House, which we see some of that going on. What do you think of this episode?
I enjoyed this episode. It's got some fun bits in it. There are still things which do drag a little bit rewatching this, like Jesse's sort of moping around and also Hank's sort of moping around, I think, which they do come out of. But yeah, that I remember that irritating me a little bit the first time I watched it. But apart from that, I mean, you've got the stuff with Marie is quite fun this week, so I quite like that. The stuff about the car wash we've got ongoing, and Walt's sort of finding out about the meeting that Skylar had and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think it's got some good bits and pieces in this episode. It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, certainly. It's almost because I again can't remember with the two moping storylines, as you say. I can't remember when they move forward, but this is almost kind of like a second part to last week's episode, almost like it continues those same parts. I do remember that those two characters do pull themselves out of those situations and they do move forward, and there was a big piece put into that this week, particularly with Hank's storyline, and obviously you got the whole Tyrus thing, watching Jesse and everything else like that. But no, aside from that, it's still a great episode. It does have a couple of little funny moments and stuff, like with the opening that we're going to talk about in a second. A classic kind of bit there. And it's interesting as we obviously continue to try and track the actual Becoming Heisenberg part in the show, that you do still have those like... somewhat comedic, not like laugh out loud moments, but those somewhat comedic sort of Walter White moments, like him putting a middle finger up to the camera and just little moments like that. So you've still kind of got that in there. Because when I'm watching, I don't know about you, but when I'm watching, like, obviously through this recap, and I can remember like what Full Heisenberg behaved like, and it's obviously part of the journey of the show anyway, is seeing this man become into this, you know, other man, so to speak. Kind of similar to what happens with Better Call Saul, but for three different personalities instead of two. And it's interesting to see, like, when he does do certain Walter White stuff to try and remember slash work out or whatever, like, when some of those mannerisms go away and the more sort of, you know, hat, glasses, you know, say my name kind of thing comes out as well. So that was kind of interesting, because again, as we mentioned on this podcast, like, we remember obviously the general gist of where we go, let's say, from here to the end, but don't remember every storyline or every bit. I did remember the Marie thieving storyline came back, because that was in, yes, I think they did that in Season 1 a little bit. I don't remember it in 2 and 3 as much, but this is a different taste of that, which is... Again, we do look at Marie as kind of one of the unfortunate points of the show, just because I don't think, you know, obviously we talked about that a dozen times before in terms of not just the treatment of Marie, but sort of what and who she is as a character and stuff. Because there was a couple of times, both in this episode and in last week's episode, it's like, okay, she is almost at points... like kind of not her own character, and she's just sort of a carer for Hank. So when other bits do come up, it's pretty good as well. And obviously a very, very interesting end to this episode as well, which we can't quite actually talk about really. But he gets given a little notebook. So because I could remember, I remembered that, because I didn't want to say it at the time, because again, future spoiler stuff, I remembered that he does get that book, but I didn't quite remember when. But I didn't remember that it was literally about two episodes later, so that was interesting as well. So that was good. All right, then that's pretty much it for the pre-talk. Do some housekeeping, let you know what we've been up to on Entertainment Talk, and then we'll get into the recap. See you in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Right, recently on Entertainment Talk, I had a little bit of moving things around slightly this week. So I did, of course, Gen V comes out on Wednesdays anyway. They've changed the time when it used to come out, because it comes out at like 8 a.m. So, or at least I think right. It does. But anyway, this podcast for this week's episode over on the Diabolical 7, we're up to with Gen V Season 2 Episode 4. We're already halfway through the season, and yes, it did only start last week, but of course we started with 3 episodes. So I gave my thoughts on 204 called Bags, which I watched yesterday, which was very interesting. Over on Gaming Talk this week, some very, very interesting stuff. We got a new teaser trailer, and when we say teaser trailer with Hideo Kojima, we often mean about 3 or 4 minutes. But a new game called OD, which had been announced before, but it had gone quiet, and this was sort of like a proper teaser trailer. So that's his next... it's a project he's doing with Xbox, but it's also going to be on other platforms because... of reasons. So that's called OD. There's a teaser trailer out for that, for those of you that want to go and check that out. We talked about some Last of Us / Naughty Dog stuff, because there was some interesting just bits of teasers and videos and just other things that people were trying to work out, so obviously I got stuck into that. And we made predictions for this week's State of Play from PlayStation that has already gone out. We'll be talking about that next week, and we talked about a bunch of other stuff as well. Over on the United Cast, of course, always interesting things happening over there. We won a game of football at last, but it almost turned into a game of wrestling in the rain. Maybe we've changed sports, but it ended up being kind of wrestling in the rain at the old rainy Manchester. We did come away with a 2-1 win. There was red cards on both sides. Chelsea's goalkeeper got sent off in the first 5 minutes. Then we had a player sent off. They almost worked their way back into the game, but kind of... because of weird substitutions and stuff, they didn't quite get back into the game. We do play away against Brentford on Saturday lunchtime kickoff. That's always been a bit of a tricky one, so we'll see how that goes. And we'll see if Ruben Amorim can get his first back-to-back wins in the Premier League as a Man United manager, because he's not actually done that yet. So jeez. That's over on that stuff. Of course, there's the Diabolical 7 podcast for last week, the triple premiere episode, so you can check those out. Or the Breaking Bad podcast. We did lose a game last weekend, which was away to Manchester City, which was 3-0, so we talked about that. Over in the video game review side of things, I did a skip rating for Death Stranding 2, which, speaking of Hideo Kojima, is his newest game. I do usually like his work, but there was a few bits and bobs around this one. I gave it a subtitle of Style Over Substance, because that was my general feeling towards the game, so I talked about that. And then there's, of course, the Political Talk episode I did recently, talking about the curious case of Lucy Connolly, so talking about everything with her. And that's pretty much everything we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Short little cold open here, but I thought it was worth putting down on its own. While preparing for his next meth cook, Walter becomes frustrated, sorry, furious, after noticing a motion detecting surveillance camera has been installed in the lab. And of course, puts a middle finger up. I think it's exactly after that shot that the credits come up, if I remember correctly, which was quite a nice little edit. But see, so you look at, because of what we all, you know, think of modern, I guess, surveillance cameras can be obviously a lot more stealthy and kind of. I remember, and this is going back a bit into random stuff, but I remember this reminds me of like a demonstration. I think I was at school or at college. I think it was at college, and this guy came in to talk about something to do with security and surveillance. And of course, I was at college for IT anyway, so obviously that's a big thing in the world of computers and stuff. And he had this like rubber pencil or a pen. And he's like, "Hey, this whole time, by the way, I've had a camera on like the tip of the pen, and it was like really, really small." And so it kind of made me think of that a little bit. This camera, however, is not stealthy at all. It's completely following Walter like everywhere he goes. It like even makes the sort of whirling sort of moving noise when it's moving around. It's like very, very deliberately following him. This thing is like also really, really big as well. So I mean, it's interesting because him and Jesse do kind of talk about, because Jesse, I think, is in a slightly later scene. It's before he goes go-karting, and talking about like, okay, we don't know if this place is actually, you know, tapped or wired or whatever the word is that they use, and what's kind of going on. If I remember correctly, Jesse like wasn't massively bothered by it, but they already, no. I guess they'd already had the feeling of, okay, we're working with Gus Fring, the place is probably already tapped anyway, we just might not know it. But this was almost like a funny way to introduce it with this very obvious camera. So
yeah
what do you think of the opening here?
Well, I mean, I think that is entirely the point that Gus is making with that, because he could easily like put secret cameras in there, and you know, it's quite possible that maybe he did have cameras in there before, but at this point he wants Walt to know that he is being watched and all the time, and that is why he's put this giant security camera in there, to make it like really obvious. So you know, I and yeah, the conversation later is just is like, whatever, you know, I mean, really it shouldn't make a huge amount of difference. It's not like, but you know, it's that thing, it's that uptight Walt thing of, he doesn't like the fact that he's being put under a microscope and watched and not trusted, even though, I mean, if you're Gus, Walt has done quite a lot for him not to trust him, so you can't really blame Gus for wanting to surveil the lab. I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't doing that like in the first place. So you know, I think it's fair enough that
But I just like that, because of Walt is still at the point that he is and he's not full Heisenberg yet, it's, I would almost say that our case is put in for just more comedic purposes, which I do quite like.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
So, like the middle finger part. So, good opening to the episode. We've got these notes here in like, okay, this whole storyline and this whole storyline. So just to make that kind of clear, I know notes can be a bit different, but whatever. Later that day, Skylar and Walt meet with Sol, and Skylar convinces Walt to buy the car wash by mentioning Bogdan, Bogdan insulted his manhood. She devises a plan to trick Bogdan into selling by having Sol's con artist Patrick Kubi, I think, pretend to be a United States Environmental Protection Agency representative who is shutting down the business over a concern about, you know, contaminations and things like that. Bogdan begrudgingly sells to her, even agreeing to a lower price than her original offer. So this is tied in with a couple of scenes, actually. There's one with a phone call, which I did quite like, actually, when she's talking on the phone to him about the car wash and stuff, and that's what kind of going on. And then there's the bit with what was it, there's like four or five rings, and Walt's like, "What are you doing? You've got to pick it up now," kind of thing. I quite like all those bits as well. And even like while she's talking to him on the phone about prices and stuff, he's trying to do this like he knows he can't yell or he can't speak too much. So again, there's a, not in the same way of the cold open, but there's a small bit of the Walt kind of funny parts in there, I suppose, like as she's trying to do this negotiation. I thought that scene was great as well. What do you think of the phone call scene first?
Well, I mean, the whole setup to this is kind of interesting because Sol's there and he's sort of pitching the idea of the nail salon as being an option. And well, actually, sort of, he's kind of agreeing with him. And Skylar's absolutely determined because of the fact that well, I mean, she says because she insulted Walt, but he kind of insulted her as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I think she is determined to get him for that. And it's very much her driving it. And, because the other two are like, yeah, let's just use the nail salon instead. And she's like, no, we're getting the car wash. So the way she plays that, I think, is really quite great. It's a really good scene for Skylar. And, the idea of the sort of setup where she's talking in his ear and feeding him the lines and stuff about like what they should do. Telling him that the rules for the EPA rules and that sort of stuff and what they're actually charging him with and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that whole plot line I really, really like. And it's very much Skylar driving that. So I've forgotten the character was named Bogdan, which for those of you that are watching Thursday Night Murder Club on Netflix, is the only other time I've seen the name Bogdan used in media. I mean, I'm sure I think it's Ukrainian. It's a fairly common Ukrainian name, I think. But there was a thing in Thursday Murder Club because they changed how the character on the film is treated compared to what happens to him in the book in a quite a major way, which led to the author tweeting out a thing which was a hashtag justice for Bogdan, because of course he wrote the book and didn't have any control over the film. So just as a side remark, it was like, oh yeah, that I know that. I've heard that name again quite recently, and it's because the movie's just come out. So yes, the whole scene, I like that. Walt sort of very much being Walt in it, and very much not being Heisenberg in this scene. He's deferring to Skylar quite a lot, which I thought was quite fun. And it's always great having Sol back. Because
Oh yeah, definitely.
he's always brilliant in this.
Yeah, I think I remember the this in the nail salon, because of course Better Call Saul has put the pre Breaking Bad bits of those have all already happened, haven't they? Obviously as well, and there was Sweary like had a nail salon in that, didn't he? So maybe that's where he's
Yeah, it's
like
the
why
same
he's talking
nail
about
salon.
him here.
Yeah, it's the same nail salon, I think, although I can't remember whether he's bought it or I can't remember whether he buys it
I remember
in
he
at
had Jesse in
Gosalana.
there at one point to like talk about something
Well,
as
his
well.
office was in the back. That was always the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I've seen the name Bogdan a couple of times in things. I think there was a goalkeeper for somebody who was called Bogdan. Why am I thinking that he played for Arsenal? I can't remember, but yeah, I remember what he looked like and that his name was Bogdan, but I can't remember who he played for. So, but I've seen that name a couple of times. Yeah, it was very good from at least what I remember. Very different to this one in the show here, of course, though. I again, it, very interesting in terms of the rewatch stuff because I kind of remembered some of this. Of course, I did remember the. Car wash and the nail salon and all. I remembered all those as like obviously big main plot points, and I remembered some of the negotiating stuff. I didn't remember the detail of, and I didn't remember as I was watching it. But so when like the scene comes up with Skylar and the car's like, oh, I don't remember any of this part. So that particular bit of him actually being a fake kind of agent, I didn't re remember about, which was kind of a nice addition to that, but. It is interesting when sort of because Bogdan sort of pushes him for more info, like okay, tell me like the exact thing I did wrong and all that, and he's like, that's when he starts getting fed the thing more, and you can see that coming through, which was interesting. Skylar's got like she's done very, very well with like when she went to Bogdan with the, you know, with the books and stuff, and like, hey, I know I've done the research on this, and then she's got the book on like all these like the script and stuff. So she's done really well with that as well, which is great as well. So but yeah, again, Sol being just involved in this as well is great. Of course, you've covered back to front with the talent in the show. Again, you've got Anna, Brian, and Bob in here. And even though with Huel's kind of unnecessary involvement in the scene, it was still cool to see him. I still like seeing a bit of Huel as well. Just like,
yes,
we're just gonna have him just use the toilet in this scene just to kind of inject a little something in there. So. It's funny with Huel because, like, he's a known, remembered Breaking Bad, like, admittedly side character, but I don't think anybody remembers a ton of sort of what he did in the show apart from sit in like Sol's office being a security guard. So, but it's always cool to see him. He's like he's a weirdly kind of inactive but interesting and remembered character. So yeah. There's a few people that, you know, over the years where fan pitches of spin-offs have been thrown out there, there's some for him that have been pitched as well, which would be cool. Just him sitting in the office. Anyway, that was cool to see. What else is there for this scene? So yeah, basically they are going to get the car wash, obviously, so that's very cool. So we go over to Jesse. Of course, this was after he has asked... and he's in a much like better headspace when he is in that first scene with Walt, because he asks him if you want to go go-karting, and then they're talking about the surveillance that I mentioned earlier, but looking much better. However, he goes home, and again, this was one that, because it seemed, because I couldn't remember where or when the like party stuff ended, but I kind of thought it was last episode, because there was sort of, okay, send everybody home, even like Badger and Skinny Pete went home and all that. I did think that was the end of that, and then when you've got this guy is like walking out of Jesse's house with, I think it's like a microwave or something, I was like, what's going on here? And then anyway, so continuing with that bit, Jesse is still feeling numb from recent events and attempts to clear his head with nostalgic go-kart trips. Looks like he enjoys himself to a degree, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I went, did any kind of go-karting. I've done the, what's it called? You know when you get, I think it's like a bumper cars kind of thing. I know it's not the exact same thing, but like when you go to a like carnival type place and it's like a two-seater... it was actually really, really rough, those things.
Yeah,
and you're just bouncing around each other. So I don't really know why anybody enjoyed that. But, of course, he's doing go-karting, which was much better. He continues to open his house. This is not the reason the episode is called Open House, necessarily. Continues to open his house for an all-night drug-fueled orgies and whatever else, and deliberately throws piles of money in the midst of the chaos. But then we see a little side scene of Tyrus is surveilling Jesse from a house nearby. I think pretty much all of these characters, but particularly Jesse and Walt, should just assume that they are always under surveillance. Of course, Jesse's, you know, out of it here, and obviously it's the whole thing about him not caring. But no, I didn't remember that this continued in this way. So this scene was a surprise to me as well. But yeah, same kind of thing. Walks in there, sits down. There's even like, I think someone having sex on the floor or something, or doing something like that. And then it's an interesting little, I don't know if transition's the right word in a way, because there's this guy who's like asleep on the floor. Jesse gets sort of bored, he scrunches up a bunch of money and tries to throw it into his mouth, which is a bit dangerous, but never mind. And then you notice this guy sitting behind him, he's like, oh, this guy's throwing money, and is like trying to slyly pick it up, and he just throws it into the air. So I'm guessing obviously someone does eventually get involved here and pulls them out of this. I can't remember if it is Tyrus or if Tyrus tells somebody else, because I can't remember any actual scenes with a specific character going in there and saying, Jesse, pull yourself out of it. I could see Mike maybe doing that, possibly.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember. I can't remember whether Jesse is just because clearly at this point when we see him, he's kind of over it. You know, he almost kind of when he first comes home and he sees the guy running out with the toaster or the whatever it is, he's like seems to be sort of, oh, I forgot this was all happening here. It doesn't seem to be like, well, you know, fine. He's not, he's not at the point where I just want to kick everybody out, but he's also not really into any of the stuff that's going on around him. So, I think I can't remember whether somebody actually comes in and like shuts it down for him or whether he just goes, no, that's it, and kicks everybody out at some point. I can't remember how that ends. So that's going to be an interesting one for both of us because neither of us can remember how that ends. The go-karting thing, apparently, I was just reading some of the sort of background notes for this. Apparently, it is a genuine place. It's called Albuquerque Indoor Karting, and it's where the crew used to go to blow off steam. So, the off time, the crew and Aaron Paul and some of the other crew used to apparently go and actually go-karting around there in their downtime. So, they decided to stick it in the show.
Nice. So that makes good use of it. So, I do actually like that there's so much that I don't quite remember, like certain
Yeah, me
details and
too.
things. So it's because even from rewatching season four, it's been at least, well, obviously more than 2 years since then, because last time we did season three was 2 years ago. So I don't know how many years ago that was.
I've no idea.
But no, that's cool. Because the objective isn't for us to come in here and both remember details. It's to watch the show and to talk about it. So, task at hand. The thing I would have been, it's not a nitpick for a scene, the scene necessarily, but I couldn't work out, like, okay, so everybody goes home. He's in Skinny Pete and Badger also go. Was it a case of they just came back, or like he called people and said, hey, blah blah blah,
Well,
you know?
I don't know whether everybody actually left. I mean, Skinny Pete and Badger left, and he was sort of like, and the party had died down a bit.
Okay, maybe
But
they just came back
I
then.
don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether everybody actually still left. You know, these maybe people were sort of, you know, some people left, other people turned up. You know, they knew there was a party going on at that house, they knew there were drugs and stuff there, and all that sort of stuff going on. So maybe it's just a case of some people left, some people stayed. Because they, I mean, I, what did he say? He'd been up for like 2 days straight when
Something like that, yeah.
Jesse was trying to keep Badger there. So I think, yeah, it's possible that some of those people are just people that have just stayed there, and some of them maybe just people that had turned up and, you know, found out there was a party going on. And so, yeah.
There we go. But we'll see what Tyrus does or doesn't do or whatever, I guess, in the next episode. Moving on to the Schrader's house, literally, frustrated by Hank's continuous cold shoulder, which I don't really blame her. Marie resumes her streak of thieving stuff after a series of thefts from real estate open houses, during of which she makes up elaborate stories about her background. She is caught by a real estate agent who recognizes her from previous incidents. A livid Hank pulls strings with his detective friend, detective Tim Roberts, to get her out of being charged. Again, we've spoken about Maria a couple of times on this podcast. She is kind of, again, it's not the case of Breaking Bad misservices female characters, because obviously Skyler's got like tons going on, and then you do have other characters as well, some of which we haven't met yet in this rewatch. Is one particular one who's quite involved later on. It's just that it's frustrating in a way, because you look at the two main families and like, okay, Skylar already had her own like career and other stuff going on, and obviously Walt's got his own thing because he's, the main character of the show. But then it's like, okay, Hank's a DEA agent, so he's got his main storyline going on, and then apart from this thieving stuff, and then obviously being involved in certain family dynamics and dramas and, family meals or whatever, she just, again, it's the main issue of she just doesn't really have her own thing as a character. Because when you are watching her outside of these thieving storylines, which again only does come up a couple of times, because I think after this incident, I don't think it comes up again in the show. I mean, we are like almost quarter-ish of the way through the penultimate season. I think this episode is the last time it actually does come up, and then it comes up in obviously earlier in season one. But because I know I kind of described her, at the top of the show as kind of okay, she does kind of become. Obviously, this situation is different because Hank's actually injured. She kind of becomes like Hank's carer in a way, rather than just his wife. Rather than like, oh, I'm going to be the supportive wife and be sort of not a housemaid. I wouldn't describe her as like a housemaid or something. And this isn't some sort of like, Handmaid's Tale, Mad Men sort of thing. I'm not leaning in that direction. It doesn't lean over that far. But yeah, it's just that just is what it is with her character. But I think once they move past this second one, because apart from being involved in Hank's life, which obviously she is, and then certainly certain family dynamics and dramas and whatever, she's otherwise just kind of not on screen. I do wonder, because I've never actually. Because over the years, obviously, I've seen bits from, like, Brian talking about the show and Aaron Paul and most of the other main cast members. I think with... Because I think their name is Betsy Brand. Obviously, the names come up in the credits and that. I don't remember, like, specifically her talking about the show or her character or anything else. But it's... Again, it's one where, like, you can criticize it for kind of what it is, but... even for a show which I do still think is the best show I've seen, even for a show of that high caliber, shows do still make kind of, it's not necessarily a mistake because they don't do something specifically wrong with the character. It's just what they give her, I think, is the sort of main issue. Anyway, what do you think of this second part with Marie here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite good that they go back to this, because that sort of storyline of her kleptomania didn't seem to go anywhere when they first used it. So I think the fact that they've gone back to it, and at least they're using it a little bit here to show that it's a case of she's stressed, she's miserable, she's doing something sort of for herself, however illegal that is, but she's acting out basically because she's upset and miserable, understandably, because Hank is being a complete asshole to her the entire time and he's taking her for granted and he's just being a dick. So I'm kind of glad that they round that story off a little bit more with bringing that back. The whole thing with Hank of like when she first turns up and he's watching porn and like has to go and use the grabber to go and get the remote off the floor.
Should have had a better plan than that, man.
yeah, absolutely. According to the notes details that are up on one of the sites, the adult film he was watching was called Witches of Brestwick 2. So there you go. That whole thing with him and his rocks and he's lying in bed and he's just being awful. She goes off and decides to have some fun. And if she was just going up and making up names and going around the houses, that would be one thing. The problem is she's going to steal things, which, obviously gets her caught. But ultimately that does lead to something quite good because it introduces her to this Detective Roberts, who is a friend of Hank's, and realizes that, and it's the point that he realizes that there are issues and she's not coping and Hank's obviously not right. So then he goes and sees him and that changes things. So, yeah, I think it's quite a nice bit of sort of tying stuff together, that section.
Yeah. I get what you mean in terms of... his attitude pushing her towards this thing. It's just unfortunately the thing itself isn't like all that, I suppose. It was interesting to kind of see her come up with these different stories and stuff, and I do wonder how long she would have, you know, kept doing it if that woman hadn't spotted her in that, because she notices one of the spoons or something, doesn't she? And then
she notices. I mean, that's the thing as well. I mean, could you make it more obvious? There is a wall of spoons and she takes one of them and you're like, really? You know, it's like blatantly obvious they're all lined up and there's one missing. I mean, just one little glance, you think really, really, you can like anyway.
yeah, so again, I think this is the last time this comes up, so yeah, we'll see. And we've got the book that's in play, which we'll talk about in a minute. So
yeah.
Speaking of that, in terms of Hank's actual stuff, obviously he's sitting in bed moping, so we've talked about that a bit already. Anyway, things are about to maybe change for him, because Roberts drops by the Schrader's residence to seek Hank's help and gives him a photocopy of Gale, his lab notebook. Hank initially kind of shoves the book away and is not interested, and then begins to read it as the episode comes to an end. I absolutely remember what this book is for. I remember what happens from it. I was going to say something then, but it would have been a spoiler. I remember pretty much exactly where this does go and what it leads to, and it's, yeah, very, very, very interesting, so I can't wait to see that kind of happen again. I suppose the interesting part from this will be him going through that, finding what he's going to, whatever it is that he's going to find, and then how long that takes to come to fruition. That'll be very interesting to see. The only thing I can't quite remember is if he shows that to anybody else, because he mentions Gomi, of course. We've seen him in a couple of the previous seasons. That's his sort of like field partner. So I can't remember if like he, because he's gonna heal eventually, and then pretty sure he does actually just go back to the unit and stuff, and then I think works back with Gomi again. But I can't remember if like he shows the book to him or what he finds from it, or like who he actually tells next. Can't even remember if like Marie finds it, so that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's a very, very important book that he's got there. So but it's interesting, the little change of, because you can clearly tell, okay, he's bored, yeah, he's watching sports and stuff. I think it was bowling, wasn't it? And he's like kind of half engaged, and then he's got this yogurt there, and it's just sort of, you know, the dull sort of sad life. But there's, it's unfortunate for him, because obviously the thing he wants to be doing is getting out into the field and doing what he does best, because that's what he's passionate about, that's what he loves. And if you remember back in, like, you know, the way he's speaking about his job in like the pilot episode, he loves this kind of stuff. He loves catching you know, drug criminals and stuff. But now he's just stuck as kind of a bit of a couch potato in a way, and that's not what he wants to be doing. So yeah, what do you think of the last scene here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of pulling Hank out of his funk. Mm-hmm. And as I say, you know, the sort of the whole Marie setup kind of leads into that. And you know, clearly he's gone over, not necessarily to actually genuinely get help from Hank. He just wants to give him something that will give him some purpose, which is a perfectly nice and reasonable thing to do. So yeah, and Hank's not interested, and then, but of course, you know, he is a detective at the end of the day, so you know, he's an agent, it's work, and it draws him. So yeah, I think that giving him that shove is the sort of thing that pulls him out of it. And yeah, that notebook does go on to be quite important. And yeah, because I remember what happened with that as well. So I can't remember exactly how we get there, but I do remember kind of what happens with it. So
yeah, I can't remember the scene that we get to, but from here to there, I can't remember exactly how.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing that play out. But yeah, it's a good sort of solid, you know, we're sort of starting to kind of kick things up and moving again. You've got Jesse coming kind of out of his funk. You've got Hank coming out of his, you know, it's not just sort of the people, some people moping around, them trying to buy a car wash and them cooking in the background. You know, you are getting a little bit more kind of movement out of it at this point. So we're starting to sort of get things going again, which I'm looking forward to, you know.
So you've got Tyrus hopefully about to pull Jesse out of his situation, and then this book, which will hopefully move Hank forward, and we'll see where we go from there. That's it for the episode. We do have a couple of bits of feedback. Of course, if you are watching the show along with us, which I'd recommend that you do that, of course, especially if it's your first time through. Rewatch the show with us. Let us know if it is your first time through, your second time through, or if you're like a massive fanatic fan and you rewatch it constantly and whatever else. Not the worst show to rewatch constantly, is it? So, you know.
No.
Let us know where you're at with Breaking Bad. Let us know if you've seen Better Call Saul as well. I would be curious to see where people's journeys are at with those two shows. Your thoughts on the episodes and where it's going and things like that. MatthewedEntertainmentTalk.org, social media, eTalkieCare, Entertainment Talk, we're on pretty much everything. And there's information in your show notes. Josh, who's back with some more predictions, says, Jesse is actually still partying. This would indeed make it easier for Gus or someone Gus knows to kill Jesse, as I predicted. Of course, that was his prediction from last week. I'm trying hard not to even look up anything BB related or look up any trailers. Yeah, certainly don't look up any trailers on YouTube for it. Even the trailer for like the current season we're covering, I wouldn't recommend doing that or anything. Yeah. So, in terms of like, obviously I imagine we've all done this many times of sort of, you've gone on social media just to have a look around and you've just been purely accidentally spoiled on something random or something current. It depends what sort of circles you're in. I don't know that that's going to happen with Breaking Bad like right now, because it's, even though it's still, you know, obviously one of the most popular shows and all that sort of thing, it's not being like actively talked about. I mean, if you went and joined, let's say, you know, the Breaking Bad subreddit, you'd probably get those recommendations come up and you might see a spoiler or two. I'm trying to think, obviously I won't mention if there was anything. I can't remember if or what I was spoiled on with Breaking Bad before I saw it. I think I knew the ending maybe, but won't talk about that here obviously. Not gonna talk about the ending of the show here, but I'm trying to think of, you know, when you're starting a show that's kind of already come out and there's like, you know, character deaths and things like that. I don't think I was for Breaking Bad, but cause I remember with Game of Thrones when I went to watch it, you know, week to week, it was season 5, and I had been spoiled on every single major death from seasons 1 through 4.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was Game of Thrones. It was massive. It was just everywhere. So, I knew all about like the whole Red Wedding stuff. Obviously the, you know, season 1 thing and all that. I think I'd known about every single one of them before I started. So, for Breaking Bad, obviously there's not as many characters in Breaking Bad, so not as many death opportunities. But even certain plot points, I don't specifically remember being spoiled before I started. Because I started the show once it was like already finished. Because I remember, because Netflix made like a big deal out of it. Like, you know, this summer, the big, you know, Breaking Bad finale, all this sort of thing. And I watched it the year later, because it just kind of kept coming up in recommendations. I can't remember when you said you started the show, like where it was at and if you'd been spoiled on anything before you'd seen it.
No, I mean, I hadn't been spoiled by anything because, I mean, when did Breaking Bad first start? I can't remember, but I mean, it had a really odd airing when it initially went out over here because it wasn't all on Netflix. It was on, I can't remember, the Channel 4, I think, had it.
I think
it,
I remember you saying Channel 5 before. Yeah,
yeah, like it had a weird thing over there. Yeah, but it was on something like Oh no, it was on Fox, I think. I think Fox ran one season of it, and then Channel 5 ran the second season of it and did something very weird with it, like put it out every night over 2 weeks over Christmas one year. You know, so it was very strange. And then it disappeared entirely and Netflix picked it up. But you were talking, you know, you're going back to 2008 and I don't know whether there was much social media-y stuff around at that point. So you sort of had to go a bit more looking for information. Right. Yeah. It wasn't like you'd just stumble across it as much. So I don't think I was really spoilt on any of it because it was a lot easier. I mean, I'm fairly good at avoiding spoilers. which is impressive, I think, considering what I do. But I'm fairly good at avoiding spoilers for even stuff even now. So if it's something that I really don't want spoiled, I just try and keep away from everything to do with that particular show. So I was basically watching it live after that. You know, after those first couple of seasons came out, were sort of released later than the US over here. And then when it was on Netflix, it was going out pretty much day and date, I think. I seem to remember when it got released. So, yeah, I kind of wasn't really spoilt with anything, which was quite nice.
Good. I think some of Better Call Saul's... I think like the first two seasons, because we reviewed season 3 and then covered 4 or 5 and was it 6? Was it 5 seasons? I think it was 6 seasons. Better Call Saul.
I can't remember.
Something like that. But yeah, when we got around to, because I wasn't doing podcasting when 1 and 2 even came out. So, yeah. One thing I have seen before is, because this happened recently with Squid Game, I finished this show, so like up to the third season, and then saw spoiler videos afterwards for it, which I guess isn't as bad because I already know. So yeah. onto his actual prediction, so Jesse is actually still partying. This would make it easier for Gus or someone Gus knows to kill him, as I predicted. Obviously we can't tell you if you're right or wrong, but I think I see what you mean in terms of, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
if someone strolled in there with a knife and just like stabbed anybody, I don't even know if anybody in that room is sober enough to notice. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because they're all probably incredibly high. So, what did you think, by the way, of so Jesse's there doing what he was doing, and then there was that one guy on the floor, like ready to catch the money. There was the one guy on the floor asleep with his mouth open, and then there was the one guy who's telling this like story about people getting squished through a fence.
Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting. Yeah, it didn't lead to anything, but
no. Well, that's sort of the point, because he was high on like crack and was or whatever it was they were smoking, meth, and that's the sort of thing that happens when you're that far gone on those drugs. You start rambling about stuff and it goes nowhere. So, you know, I mean, it was sort of an example of that, I guess.
Yeah, true. It just made me think of the, you know, when Abby's trying to walk past or shimmy past the fence in Last of Us, because of course my brain just went there. when she's trying to shimmy past the fence and then there was like clickers and stuff on the other side. So anyways, move on to the next one. Last one is Abed says, to just focus on the main roles, who would you cast for a Breaking Bad reboot? So I read this like a couple of days ago when you sent it in. Because the thing is, when you have like, you know, in a certain time period where someone says like, hey, here's this character, because usually these days it's comic book characters, right? Like, okay, new X-Men or new DC stuff, and people are doing fan casting all the time. And there's certain people in, I guess, a day and age that get typecast for stuff. So like nowadays when you go, okay, young action person, you go like Tom Holland or something. And then if you go slightly older action guy, you don't go to Jason Statham as much, you go to like Chris Pratt. So there's people in those kind of roles hanging around. Because I was kind of thinking of like, okay, would they do something? And obviously, this is all hypothetical. You're not going to be rebooting Breaking Bad. If you had like Tom Holland as would they go for Tom Holland as Jesse these days? Would he be the kind of
I mean,
young 20 something, that kind of role. There's a number of like middle-aged popular guys that you could put into Walter White's role. Would they pick Pedro Pascal? He's kind of like he's kind of the sort of, not necessarily when you need an action man, but when you need like another popular known middle-aged guy, you go to Pedro Pascal these days. Maybe do him for that. But then, yeah, Pedro and Tom, don't know about that one. What do you think for those two roles to start with?
It's really difficult because it needs, I mean, I think the genius of what it did for Bryan Cranston is the fact that, you know, it's like people looked at it and like, what, the sitcom guy? Because
yeah,
he was
adding
Malcolm in the Middle. And, you know, so, you know, there are people that you could maybe put into that role. I mean, if you were going to go for, I mean, you could go for British actors because they played enough Americans. I mean, you could go for somebody like Andrew Lincoln or, Matthew McFadyen would be another one that might fit it as a sort of nerdy high school teacher that can play serious as well. I don't know. It's, tricky, that.
Mm. What about Elliot Page for Jesse, the kind of, I can see that fitting in a certain,
I mean, obviously anybody that you put in these roles is going to be, it's going to be vastly different to how they play it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you'd have to maybe write them differently. What about Gus? I mean, again, you can't really replace Giancarlo's just what he does in that role.
I think it's practically impossible to replace Giancarlo in that.
Someone like Michael B. Jordan, probably.
Michael B. Jordan.
He did some very, like, not similar stuff, but there was some, you know, that kind of businessman kind of type of role. Like, he does some stuff with that in Sinners, because there's a part in like the first half of the film where he's actually going around town. Of course, there's two of him because he plays like the twin brothers, and they're doing like business deals. So there's a certain amount of that you could maybe put into it. And obviously, he's a very good actor. So
yeah.
What about if we do one more? If we do Skylar. I wasn't say Jennifer Aniston, but
I could see Jennifer Aniston doing it.
Reese Witherspoon would be good as well, speaking of the morning show.
Yeah.
And she did this, what was the show called? I think it was Little Fires Everywhere, where she was in a stressed family situation, let's call it that. So there's like bits of that in that role as well. So yeah. Maybe we'll do some more of them in a future podcast, but yeah, those are some of the main roles that we could do. But again, like you said, because you have such particular, like, what everybody across the show brings to their roles, no matter who you would cast, assuming it's written by the same people, it's the same thing. They'd all be different in like a certain way anyway. So
yeah.
But no, the first one I thought of was like, okay, who would be the kind of young-ish, companion person, and that's where I thought of like Tom Holland, because again, he's getting cast in those roles, isn't he? So all right, so for this week's episode, if any of you've got any fan castings for any of the cast, there's obviously a few different roles, let us know what those would be. I did already say how you could write in, so go and do that if you'd like to as well. I'll be back with episode 4 next week. Yes, please, it's episode 4 next week. I'm trying to keep the numbers remembered with like Gen V season 2, this is season 4, and then that's episode 4, and then next week's episode 4. So anyway, in the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast. That's how you can support more of our content, by going and listening just mute that. Going and listen to more of those podcasts for TV, games, films, Monday night podcasts. The next one will probably be our Brentford game on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. Then we'll be back with the usual four kind of regulars that we have at the moment, which is Gaming Talk, of course, Gen V, Breaking Bad, and the United cast. Remember, we don't play midweek anymore because we're not in certain competitions anyway. So that'll pretty much just be weekends. And then any other film reviews, season reviews, or game reviews, anything like that. I just started playing a new game called Baby Steps, which is interesting so far. So that might be the next game reviews. Look out for that. And then, yeah, anything else that we post on the site, you can support us, of course, by listening to more of what we do, word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio on Tuesday, so there's a new episode from a couple of days ago, and geektown.co.uk is for your TV and your film news. David, that's run by you. How's it going over there?
It's going fairly well, actually. Yeah, if you're a fan of The Traitors this week, we had on the podcast The Traitors' Theo Main, who was in season one. He actually did the whole show. So it's a normal show, but Theo Main just happens to be the co-host. So we obviously talk a little bit about Traitors in there as well, and you know, his time on the show. But it's a normal show. We cover Doc, Gen V, Conjuring Last Rites, number of other thing bits and pieces that have come up this week as well. So that's episode 474 of Geektown Radio. You can find there, and on the website there's some news about Spaceballs 2, which has recently been announced, so that's come up. Lots of sort of first look and premiere dates and things that are kicking around right now, because we're sort of heading into that period where lots of stuff is turning up. There's a couple of gameplay preview things as well, because I think Tokyo had a game show recently, didn't they? So
they did. TGS. Yeah.
So yeah, there's been a few bits and pieces of that. So I've posted a couple of bits on that as well, and the Baywatch reboot. They're rebooting Baywatch. So there's a story on that as well. So there's lots of stuff. If you go to geektown.co.uk, loads of news and stuff over there.
Cool. Nice. So yeah, check out Geektown Radio on Tuesdays. Again, there's a fresh episode from 2 days ago. So go and check that one out. And then head to geektown.co.uk for your TV and your film news. You can also find us, Entertainment Talk Plays, on YouTube. That's just for our random video game stuff. Did make a couple of clips already for Baby Steps, and then some other games. Just go over there and check out the random stuff that's on there. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back for episode 4 next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.